This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
One of the newest entertainment options in Melbourne now for LGBTIQ women and their friends is called Pandora's. It's a monthly night out with a varying range of female entertainers of different genres, run by the Retro Girls. Performers in their own right, welcome to Bent Notes, Rachel and Sandy.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you very much. Hi, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sandy.
And we're the Retro Girls.
I reckon you've done it a few times.
We have.
We practice.
I'm pleased to hear that. What prompted you to start the Pandora Project?
We wanted to, and we felt there was a need, to create a safe space for queer women and friends. And so we set about doing it. And we were looking for a platform for ourselves with that focus, because we do a lot of really general events. You know, we do everything. We do school fairs. We run their stages. We coordinate everyone.
We do morning melodies.
Yeah. And we wanted to create a safe space and a stage platform for queer-friendly women performers. They don't have to be queer themselves. We have Wendy Stapleton.
Next year, get your
ticket for next year.
Wow.
So
keep
it's, on the
it's not, you know, we really want to make clear that it's really inclusive, you know, adult only, but as long as you're over 18, you're queer friendly.
And we also want people to know that it's a safe place to come. Like, if a lot of the time queer women will stay home because, you know, they won't go out necessarily with friends, or friends are doing something else. We want them to know that they can come by themselves. And they'll be greeted with warm and hug. They get a hug.
Yeah, we get free hugs.
Free hugs.
We don't charge for those.
That sounds good. Oh, I had a hug before. You're right.
Yeah,
thank you for that. Why does Melbourne need Pandora's?
Because we're here.
That makes sense.
We live here.
We're up
Costs
the road.
Money to travel. You know, it just adds to the expense of everything.
Is the concept in place anywhere else that you're aware of?
Not quite to the particular style that we've created. We don't do doof doof. There's a lot of doof doof out there, and it's a beautiful thing.
And it has
thing.
Its place.
And it does, and I enjoy a bit of doof doof myself, but the fact that we are the Retro Girls and we are mature age.
I don't know about
have,
you, but I'm...
You know, all of that. I guess we are... Well, I'm not, I guess. We are definitely attracting a bit of an older audience, and we're
mature
having
age.
All these amazing experiences of individuals stepping out for the first time for a long time, or, you know, people with lots of wonky bits.
Yeah.
You know, like, who would normally find it more challenging, like knee reconstructions and impaired vision and things like that. So we're, you know, you don't have to go through a computer or something. You can deal directly with
us. Yeah, you can call us, you know, and that thing called a phone. Yeah.
What are those things called, phones?
Oh, they are. Yeah, they come in a mobile edition these days.
Yeah.
So is finding a venue that suits your concept a difficulty?
Yes.
Not anymore. We've found the perfect place.
Yes, it's been a long journey.
Last night we had our last night in our old venue, and it was a lovely night. It was a bit of a party because we were finishing up there, and we're moving to the Reverence Hotel, number 28 Napier Street. In Footscray, and we're kicking off with Becky Cole and Libby O'Donovan.
What a great combination.
Oh, yeah.
So
we're excited.
I did have a question here. How does jazz fit into Pandora's mix?
Oh.
Quite easily.
I think
yeah.
you just answered it.
Mm.
It fits in beautifully.
There it is.
Absolutely. And I mean, I've been reading up on Libby, and she's not just jazz. She's a whole gamut of things.
I got that impression when I was having a read through her bio.
Yes.
My guest on Bent Notes tonight are the Retro Girls, Rachel and Sandy, and very shortly it'll be Libby O'Donovan on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station. Joy 94.9.
My guests on Bent Notes tonight are the Retro Girls, Rachel and Sandy. They are conducting a program, an event, a new event that's happening monthly called Pandora's. It's a mix of jazz and country, though, happening at the next event in September. It features two wonderful musicians, country singer Becky Cole and jazz vocalist Libby O'Donovan. It's my pleasure to welcome to Bent Notes jazz vocalist, composer, arranger, musical director and theatre and cabaret performer Libby O'Donovan. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Now, your list of talents, vocalist, composer, arranger, musical director, theatre and cabaret performer, tell me about your love for music and entertainment, I think, in general. Where did you learn to love music?
Oh, I suppose from my childhood, because I actually grew up in the church, as so many people who get involved in music do. Both of my parents are Anglican priests, and so I had no choice, really, but to be up there having a bit of a sing. I just grew up with, you know, lots of music, lots of mum played piano and sang, and I used to listen to mum and dad practice the hymns every Saturday night for the next Sunday morning, and, you know, of course, being a kid around that, you just wanted to be a part of it. So I really did just grow up with it in the church, yeah.
The church was your first memory of music. Was there any jazz in that aspect?
No. There was the occasional diminished chord in one of the, you know, rose hymns, but apart from that, absolutely not. I definitely grew up with very straight music, very classical or hymn-like music. That's sort of what we grew up with, absolutely. And, of course, you know, kids songs, I suppose, and the old ABC sing books of primary school years.
I remember them.
So I got some popular culture through that, I suppose.
Do you have a wide range of appreciation of music in terms of the various genres around?
Oh, absolutely. My big love is live music. You know, whether you're playing anything from classical to baroque, heavy metal, jazz, new jazz, funk, soul, country, it doesn't matter to me as long as it's live and you're playing the real instruments on there, and I'm loving it.
Things that are live always have something about them.
Yes, they do. And I always think that, you know, not to get too philosophical, but at the end of the day, if the power goes out or if there's something terrible that happens to an entire city, we will actually all gather together and make music with whatever instruments we have, and mostly that's going to be our voices. You won't have anything to plug into. You won't have anything to, you know, to do all your fancy stuff with. You just got to have the raw material there, and you've got to make the best you can do. And I love that feeling. That's why I love campfire singing, and I love, you know, jams, and when people just get together and as a community and create art in that way. I love that.
Hey, Libby, it's Sandy. Hi.
Hi, Sandy.
I suppose you could call that ad-libbing.
Oh, very good.
Sorry.
When I studied jazz at the conservatorium in Adelaide, and I had that joke almost every day, but I laughed every time, Sandy.
Oh,
I laughed every time, and I still do.
I've never heard that one before, but I like it.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
So, Libby, is jazz your dominant genre these days?
I suppose it really does inform most of the things that I do, but it's strange. Whatever music you grow up with, you kind of keep going back to that. So all of that church music, I mean, that old sort of hymnal kind of music has the most amazing and beautiful chord progressions and great structures. Whenever I write songs, I keep thinking, oh, I think I've written another, you know, like hymnal structure rather than a verse chorus.
Oh, no.
Like pop songs have the same structure. I'm like, oh, have I written another? Or I write a jazz form, AABA or AABACA or something like that. I think, oh, I've written a jazz song again. It does inform me. And because I studied jazz and I really love jazz, I guess it really influences my writing all the time, yeah.
Who do you look up to in the world of jazz these days?
These days that are living?
Yes.
It's much easier to tell you who's the ones I love that are dead.
Well, that's my next question anyway, so feel free.
Look, I really love the old school singers. I love Sarah Vaughan, Carmen McRae, Ella Fitzgerald, Billie Holiday, Betty Carter. They are, you know, definitely the jazz singers that I have absolutely loved. and I've listened to them time and time again. I guess someone now that I would really love, I don't know, I guess the living singer that I love the most is Aretha Franklin, because she really traverses that line between jazz, soul, pop and everything in between. But she started out with all of that old blues stuff, which I really loved, and lots of the old jazz stuff, and she's a great piano player. I think now the whole, you know, compositionally, people that are writing jazz music, they tread through all of the genres to get to where they want to be, and I like that. I like there's a big blend of things. But I love Cassandra Wilson, I suppose. She's the jazz singer that I love a lot, and jazz. She's a great guitar player, actually, as well. And she's a really great jazz singer that I love, who's still alive now, and I've seen her a couple of times in concert. She's brilliant.
One of the things that happens when you've got a live performance is you get a performer who provides a show. It actually provides entertainment rather than just simply singing a song. Yeah. How do you ensure that when you're performing live, it's not just walk on, sing a song and walk off, but it's got character, it's got life, it's got continuity?
I guess, again, it really is my childhood. My growing up with priests mean you hear a lot of sermons, which means you hear a lot of good storytelling. Not saying that saying it's a lie. I learnt the art of storytelling, I reckon, from my father, who could always hold court, and he still can. He's a very, very gentle, very slow talker, because he grew up in the absolute country of Australia. He grew up in a little tiny town called Carousel. That's where he's born. There's about 15 people that live there in its boom. And he just knows how to just tell a story from beginning to end with, you know, great one-liners in there. And I think, well, if you're going to sing a song, I mean, the song can do so much, but if you give it some kind of context, it can really hit home to people. It can really touch their hearts, because everyone has something in their life that they need a song to help them get them through, you know. So if you can relate to them on that level, it sort of works. And really, I suppose that's the essence of cabaret, and that's what I've fallen into now. I'm most definitely a cabaret performer now. No matter what genre I perform, I'm a cabaret performer, because I like to have social commentary, some political, you know, opinions in there, and then also, you know, just the aspect of storytelling and connecting with your audience. And the thing about live music is, depending on the audience, the show will be different every night. You will never get the same thing again.
Which is one of the things about live performance, that you can go to a show more than once and have a great time each and every time.
Exactly. Yeah, especially if it's not... I mean, music theatre is a bit different, because they have to do the same songs and the same lines and the same, you know,
banter,
steps and everything.
Yeah.
But it's great if there's a technical hitch. That's always good.
Yes, it is.
We were in London and we went and saw... Bessie and I saw Gypsy, and something didn't work, like one of their great reveals where someone was either flying in or raising up from the ground, and it didn't work, and they had to just come on and say, sorry, it's not working. And so in the meantime, we either entertain you or we walk off and have a dark theatre, and no one wants a dark theatre, you know. So they had to stay on and say a few things for us. I thought, I've seen the best show. I want the show that is real like that, you know.
You walk out of the theatre and think to yourself, now, was that scripted or was that really happening then?
Unless it's a magic show, it's real, you know.
Yeah. Part of that, I suppose, Libby, is performing with your other performers, with your co-performers, and your performance at Pandora's here in a couple of weeks' time is with country singer Becky Cole. Now,
that's right.
How do you approach a show like that when the two performers are... I suppose you could say from different genres, recognising that you have a wide range of interests. How do you approach working with different people on stage like that?
Well, look, I have to say about Becky specifically, when I first saw her performing and I first saw a show of hers in 2012, I thought to myself, she's the best cabaret performer I've ever seen, because I know that she has the, I guess, the label as being a country performer. But when you go and see her show, I was just in stitches. I couldn't believe how funny she was. I couldn't believe how interesting it was. I was moved to tears. I was laughing hysterically. And I was everything in between. And I thought, wow, I wish cabaret performers would come and see her, because they wouldn't take themselves so seriously. They'd learn from the best. They'd learn from someone who's seen every audience under the sun. I mean, particularly in Australia, someone like Becky has seen from the remote, you know, real outback Australian audiences right through to, you know, huge city concerts and everything in between. So it's like whether you perform to 10 or 10,000 people, you have to be able to connect. And I think when you find a performer that you can perform with that does have that level of connection, it's easy, no matter what genre they're doing.
It's storytelling too, Libby, like you were referring before, to the storytelling and preempting a song by telling the story of how that song came to be.
That's right.
Becky and yourself, like when we've, Rachel and I have been to see you perform at I can't remember where we were, but, you know, a lot of the songs like Songs Remember Me, brilliant song. You told the story of, you know, residential cares and how that song came to be. And it's a beautiful song.
Well, that's the thing, and that's the magic about songwriting. You can take an iconic song. Let's just say, for example, Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. Mm. And everyone goes, oh, that's the song that, you know, makes me think of my blah, blah. Oh, that's the song that relates to my first love. That's the song that, you know, was with me when I had my first breakup. That's the song that I had at my grandpa's funeral. That's the song. And that one song actually represents something different in everybody's life.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Can I ask you about the trilogies, the love trilogy?
Oh,
part one, two and three. Are they any particular person in each one, or are they just all of the
numerous
same?
People? Numerous.
Of course they are. I could tell you the whole story right now, but it's...
Have we got time?
Really is.
Go right ahead.
I wanted to write.
You should see Corey in here, Libby. Corey is saying yes,
I'm saying yes. Tell me. I love that.
Because part two is all about Corey, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Part two.
I love you. It really was, I wanted to write something that was about the different stages of, like, the three fundamental stages of love, which, of course, is that first initial falling in love, absolutely thinking, well, it's called meet your match, so thinking, this is it, you know, this is the one and everything is perfect and I didn't think I could feel like this. And then the next I love you is when you get the... It's not a double-edged sword, but it is the most complex, most wonderfully and most beautifully complex feeling when you really fall in love and you think, well, this is so beautiful because I'm in love, but on the other side of this, this is the doorway to heartbreak, because if this doesn't work out, I'm stuffed.
You know, I was going to say that, but I didn't know whether you were allowed to on the radio.
And that point of vulnerability as well.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, I said stuffed. yes, but it is absolutely... That point of vulnerability, you're absolutely correct. And it is such a beautiful and exquisite and uniquely human emotion, you know, that absolute surrender and thinking, well, now I've done this and I'm in here and I'm doing this now. And then the third movement is the devastating end, but it doesn't have to be that. It could be the forever bit, but then you wouldn't have a third movement. You'd just be in love and you'd be all right. But, you know, there is that complexity and that risk that once you fall in love, you will potentially be hurt in that way.
Part four coming? There's got to be a part two. There's got to be another part to
part
it.
Part three is so theatrical. I mean, you've got so much variation of dynamic and, completely engaging.
Yeah, and all
and
of that.
Absorbing and...
Symbolism of sort of, you know, I remember when I wrote that, I think I was reading a book about, it may have been about a shipwreck or the Titanic or something. It was something real and about how, no, it wouldn't have been the Titanic, but it was some shipwreck where there was a boat that was out on the shore and people were waving, you know, help me on the boat that was sinking, but the people on the shore can't actually do anything.
Mm.
And I thought that's such an interesting, an interesting phenomena, because you would do almost anything to go out and save them, and they're waving to you. And sometimes love, when the ship is sinking, feels like that. You are just on that boat. You're out in the middle of the ocean, and you are waving your hands furiously, but you're too far apart now. You've drifted too far, or it's just done. And it's a horrible feeling because you know you're going to go down with that ship, and then you're going to have to get yourself back up. But I thought of all of those sort of connections with how hopeless it can feel sometimes at the end. And we can all relate to that, and that's the thing. We can all relate to heartbreak, unless you've never had your heart broken, in which case you're probably about 12 or something. I don't know, but you haven't had that real love experience where you really have invested your entire self into it.
Okay, so I'm sitting here with my mouth open, going, "Wow."
It's a lot about grief as well. I mean, I think you can listen to that song and,
of course,
you know, that's what it is, and it's most sort of extreme
That's right. That's one of the top top causes of the worst kind of grief is death and a breakup and moving house, would you believe? But it is that whole essence of the great loss of a sense of home for a human is the worst kind of grief.
I want to ask about another amazing thing that you've done, which I have never seen, but I've just read a bit about it, and it's on a different tact. Gady Lala songs for the Sophisticated Fag Hag 2012. Is that going to be like, are you going to do that again in Melbourne? Are you going to come and do that at Pandora's?
Can you come and do that at
Pandora's? In 2017?
A fun show. That was a really, really fun show.
Okay, so we'll pencil it in, will we?
It sounds fun just for the title.
We haven't done it since 2012. But it is with one opera singer and another singer who traverses between opera and cabaret, and then me, who's cabaret jazz. And it's this great sort of spoof on songs for Sophisticated Fag Hag. So it was like I'm gay, and Sydney Henbeth is probably Adelaide's greatest fag hag, and Catherine Campbell likewise. And we just loved all of the songs that are iconic, you know, in the gay scene. All of the songs that somehow hit and resonate with the gay community. Well, you know, I'm saying the gay community, but you know what I mean. It's like
which was your favourite?
Michael hit, and the great Madonna hit, and the great, you know, the Pat Benatar hit for the Lesbos, and the great, you know, we wanted to just grab them all and put them all into the show. So we did this thing. We did this great art. We did a huge, we did a couple of medleys that I wrote. One was called the Masturbation Medley. So every song that kind of refers to touching yourself.
I'm ready to hear it.
Or judging yourself or making love to yourself, even if that song didn't mean it, it's there. And then another one called the Fag Hag Medley, which is like every sort of, you know, stereotypically gay anthem thrown into the one 23-minute, 48-song medley or something ridiculous like that.
But 23 minutes?
Just,
oh, my gosh.
So good. It was just incredibly fun.
It sounds like a huge amount of fun, Libby.
Yeah, I think we need that in Melbourne. What do you reckon?
It is really fun. It's just it can be with the whole band, of course, but we did it with a keyboard player a couple of times, with keyboard player and three singers, and one of the best things was that when we performed it in Adelaide for its long season, Catherine was very heavily pregnant. So we had this whole visual spectacular because, you know, in the masturbation medley, of course, we're all touching ourselves and touching each other, and it's just like, people are just losing their minds about this. She's heavily pregnant. Like, yes, but I'm still a woman, you know. I still have feelings and needs. And it was wonderful.
I think it'll fit.
It was a once-off, that one.
Yeah, I think you should come down and do a once-off for Pandora's. Absolutely. That'll go down a treat.
It's really fun.
That leads me to one question, Libby.
Oh, no, you can't ask her that.
What can our listeners expect to see and hear in your show with Becky here at Pandora's?
Oh, who knows? Well,
hopefully some surprises.
Her and I will, essentially it's Becky's show. So she will be doing what we normally do out on the road, which we do nearly every single weekend, is I open the show. So I do my songs for about 20 minutes, 30 minutes. She normally has the five-piece band or seven-piece band. So I'm the keyboard player for that band and backing vocals, and we do a couple of duets. So when it's the two of us, bit more an intimate show. It gets a lot more cabaret and a little bit naughtier. And we definitely have a lot of banter between us. So it's mainly Becky's songs in her section, my songs in my section, and then she does all of her songs in her section. But we do a couple of duets and a couple of fun things together, absolutely. We've done it before. And it's just really fun because you get that sense of you're almost in the crowd with the crowd as well as being on stage.
Yeah.
And that's the best feeling is that we are all creating the night together.
Yeah.
And then hopefully people leave just saying, I'm so glad I was there for that.
Yep. Yes.
Libby, thank you so much for chatting to us tonight. We've played a couple of your songs tonight leading up to the chat here. What have we played? We've played I Miss You. And
I love singing that one.
It's beautiful. And From This Mother to My Mother. But I thought we might go out with one a little bit up-tempo, Song for Sexy Straight. Now, is there any story behind this one?
Oh, there will be.
Of course there.
Well, would you care to share some? I do have to warn the listener that the song does need a language warning, which doesn't often happen in bed notes, but it's all within context of the song.
It needs a language warning, but it's just the truth, so don't worry too much. It is just about exactly what it is. No matter what you try and do in your life, you will probably fall in love. So just look out that. It was my homage to my younger days, during my single years when I sort of provided a community service, which I didn't know I was doing, but giving straight women their first experience with a woman. And what it always ended up with was them having a great time and me falling in love and having my heart broken because they're straight.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes. Song for Sexy Straight, there it is.
It is indeed. Libby O'Donovan, thank you so much for your time here on Bent Notes tonight. And thank you to both Rachel and Sandy for joining me in studio and having a chat around the table with all five of us, in fact. Corey's been sitting here loving hearing your voice, Libby.
Give him a kiss,
Corey.
Will you, Libby? Send him a kiss.
Aww. I really have loved it.
Thank you, Libby, and thank you, Rachel and Sandy. We look forward to hearing more about Pandora's as time goes by, and certainly this show on September the 2nd. In the meantime, though, here's Libby O'Donovan, Song for Sexy Straight.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.